This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, good afternoon, Boston and surrounding areas. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich, certainly. Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and your calls, 617-779-7937. You can listen to us on that Odyssey app right there, and our show gets launched right into your phone. Also, press that microphone button, and we play your messages later on. We are an abbreviated show today because we got the old Red Sox coming on. Peyton Tolley and his kick-ass mustache are going to be taking the mound here. Game starts at what, 4:10? Is that right?
4:10 and two mustaches. Now that Mickey Gasper's hot, you got the Mick.
Oh yes,
and Tolley. So double mustache fever today.
Double the stash, double the fun. And before we get started, I just want to say how just ridiculous things have gotten with this Jimmy Fund, the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund radio telethon. The last couple days were unbelievable. They're awesome. And the more I think about it, it's like they just, you know, all the patients that came by and the Red Sox, man, they are just all in. Like they all, I mean, all the stars came by. They not only did all their interviews, but before the game, I know you saw them bring them all out into the field. It's just a cool thing to be a part of and to sit across from the people telling their stories and them trusting us to help them tell their stories is very humbling.
Well, that's a key. Real quick, Rich, not to interrupt you, but not only the Red Sox, but also Dana-Farber and also Nesson. To partner up with four organizations and have people contribute and trust, that's a good word, trust each other, I think it's part of the secret sauce of the whole event.
It was so well run, but the thing that I find the most amazing, obviously, is I kept seeing the number go up and the number go up. And, you know, last night we saw in the middle of the game, like right at the end of, I think it was like the sixth inning, $1 million donation, which helped put things over the top. But what's crazy is that it didn't stop there. And as a matter of fact, the tally from this morning is lower than the tally that is the final tally that we can now officially tell you. Mm-hmm. After last year, I thought it was an unbeatable number.
Same.
5.7 million was something that I remember when you guys got that. I texted Mike and I'm like, dude, I can't believe you hit that. And you know, it wasn't expected to be a big year at any kind of charity. It was a tough year economically, and still they were able to raise 5.7 million. The official total of this year's Jimmy Fund Telethon is now $7,301,616.
And as Joe Braverman, Red Sox producer, pointed out, that's a good omen for Charlie McAvoy being captain of the Bruins, 7.3. So I like to read into things. You know.
By the way, apparently the YouTube broadcast, we got to get the sound on there.
Come on, Glenn. We're only on for an hour.
That's right. Let's get that thing pumping. But $7.3 million, that is $1.5 million more than a number that we didn't think could be topped. And it's humbling. Like, you know, it's amazing because it wasn't just, we saw a lot of the donations that are coming in. It's not just the $1 million donor. It is the people who called in and $25 here, $100 here. And to be able to see that and watch the way that this city rallied around these kids and these patients over at Dana-Farber and these doctors who do miracles, man, it's just awesome. And, you know, as much as, you know, we crap on things and we do all that, it's the one section of time where you can just look and say, you know, maybe we're not all a-holes after all.
Well, and you're right. And it all comes back to the patients in the end, because their stories are what triggers people to be so generous. You just can't help but, like, listen to some of these stories. Carson, who was on with us, and, like, so many different people. I mean, I don't want to point, but, like, it was just, you, 10 minutes of just, you're captivated, and you just want to help in any way you can.
Yep.
You know?
And we got to see Cam Neely laugh when Craig Breslow brought up Caleb Durbin's pinky. And I just, that still, to me, was one of the highlights of the whole thing. He just said, and, you know, Caleb Durbin fought through this pinky, and then you see, like, Cam Neely just went, he just did, like, one of those, it was almost like a Beavis and Butt, like, And I think,
well,
I
that's cool too that you got them together. You know,
sure.
Two very similar people.
Of course. I think I kind of like threw a little bomb into the segment there because I couldn't stop laughing at Cam Neely laughing at that. And by the way, Durbin was awesome when he was on with us. I mean, really,
great.
Everyone was great.
Tony Siegels.
Siegels was actually those two are like buddies.
No,
they should do some sort of show together.
It's a great
man.
Dynamic. I'm telling you, the Red Sox have something going here.
They do.
Now, we overreact so much this year. I mean, we've said they were the best, they're dead, they're the best. But just to watch, slowly but surely, personalities like this are emerging, which I think are important, you know?
Yeah, without a question. And that's when you, And that's when you know that the chemistry's there. And they were all busting each other's balls, which was great. And as I said, to a man, they all came and helped out with the Jimmy Fund and like stuck around, took pictures with some of the families and the kids. You know, and I'm not just singling out the Red Sox. Obviously, there are some Bruins players like Jeremy Swayman was awesome to come by. And I know on the TV side, McAvoy was there and Tuca as well and so many others. But, man, what a great couple of days. As I said, if you think that everyone in the world is an a-hole, for 2 days they aren't. And now we can go back to crapping on everything and, you know, like making fun of all this and that and that. But for 2 days, damn it, you rose to the occasion. And I couldn't be happier because I've seen firsthand just the magic that they do there and the lives that they save over at Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. All right. You know what happens, Stiz? Some sports happen, baby. Let's go.
What just happened?
Sports happen.
Ah, yes. And Sports Happen is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. You can call all sevens at 617-777-7777. The old Jimmy Fund karma leads to another good old-fashioned ass kicking at Fenway.
0-2 pitch. There's a deep drive down the right field line. It's hooking near the pole. It is a towering fly. It's a home run. Hard to judge from here as it went past the pesky pole. But it's fair and a home run and a tie game on Rutschman's first as a member of the Red Sox. It's 4-4.
How about Rutsch Hour? What do you think? It's Rutsch Hour.
I like it.
Thank you, Stiz.
I mean, come on. It's his first home run. We already got like nicknames and cool little mottos. We can't do that yet. Although I did text.
Don't rush the judgment.
Man. It's bad. Where's Ted to kick your ass when we need it? What are we doing? No, but I texted Will Fleming this morning and I said, you know, how much did you want to call that Adley Rutschman home run last night? And of course, he was all class. But how cool is that? After just a dog turd of a start for the newest member of your Boston Red Sox, all of a sudden, you know, Adley Rutschman's becoming who he thought he was.
And he's benched today, unfortunately. I was looking for a little momentum. They put Wong in. That's fine. It's a day game.
Why did they bench him?
Just they get to give Wong the... get him off his feet 2 days or whatever. I guess they're taking it easy.
Now, Wong isn't like officially Tully's guy, right? That's not why he's doing it, is it?
I don't think. I think they're just trying to ease up on Adley. He had a good game and let him feel good going into the weekend.
Sure, why not when someone's like hot as hell, you just like cool him down on the bench.
Yeah, you're right. That is a little weird.
That is kind of weird.
See, well, that's why the interim tag's on.
I guess so, that's right. Damn it. I was keeping the interim tag the entire season, so I guess I was right. Well, last night, obviously, Notch's first home run. The Sox win at 9-4. And after having one hit in his first 17 at-bats as a member of the Sox, it was great. Got to see him go 2-for-4, a home run, a walk, 3 RBI.
It was a huge run, too, because they had just given up the grand slam.
Yeah.
So you're up 3-0, and then Ranger gives up the slam to really the best hitter in their lineup.
Yep.
2-0 pitch meatball, and it's quiet at Fenway, and then Rutschman ties it, and then your guy takes over after that. Our guy, Lorenzo's guy.
Lorenzo. By the way, how about our hometown boy, Mickey Gasper, huh? Mm-hmm.
2-1 pitch, swing, and a well-hit ball, straightaway center. The center fielder, Lawler, back on the wall, and it's gone! Mickey Gasper homers for the second time in as many nights. His first two career home runs at Fenway Park, and the Red Sox lead 7-4.
Yep. All Gasper, no break.
Jeez, man.
I mean, I had all night to...
It's going to be a day.
It's going to be a day. We get to see each other. It's funny. We're all excited because the money we raise. I think we're all feeling ourselves a little bit.
Hey, those are good.
I'm not going to hold you back. I will not hold you back. You. Two games, two dongs. Gasper had reached base 4 times from the number 9 spot. That was awesome. But as cool as it was, by the way, I think we all agree. Caleb Durbin had a slide for the ages yesterday.
Oh, incredible.
And seeing it live was awesome. But man, the slow-mo, the way he rolled on his side, like to avoid getting tagged, it was like when Neo went bullet time in the Matrix. It was like this awesome slow move. And you know, Durbin, you do our show, good things happen. That was just, it was cool. I mean, as I said, when you see it, because I was at the game, it's great, but the minute you see that replay, you realize just how amazing that slide was.
And I saw Merlone, back to Gasper for a second, just talking, because Yoshida's the one injury that we think is probably stuck.
Yeah.
He's probably done for the year, unfortunately. The bullpen guys, they're hopeful. But Gasper can kind of fill that role to lose point if he's just a lefty back, because he's a switch hitter. But if you just keep him as a lefty,
yeah,
don't need to start him, and maybe you're better off for it. Because I know Yoshida's been good, but he's been streaky.
Yep.
I think Gasper could fill that role off the bench, and they're kind of finding a good group, a roster. They're all fitting together all of a sudden.
It's been nice. Yeah, it's been nice to see that when you put a piece in for the most part, they've been able to deliver, because that's obviously doesn't always happen that way. By the way, Adley Rutschman addressed something yesterday that I asked Durbin during his interview with our show yesterday.
Can you describe the Ollie head experiment?
The experience? There's not a great visual coming out of that thing. So, yeah, and it doesn't smell that bad. So,
sure?
I promise.
He stole your question.
Oh, I mean, listen, you know, listen, I had to ask Siegler and Durbin about the Wally head, because this, do you have it right there, Stiz? Okay, because whenever I see them do this, for some reason, this is all I think.
Does somebody wash that Wally head? Because does it smell awful when you put that thing on?
You think it'd smell worse, honestly.
Yeah,
they must wash it.
Yeah, they have
nearly
to wash
as bad
it.
As it should be, especially with this guy putting it on. I mean, you got Bowser putting it on.
Yeah.
I mean, it smells way too good for not to clean it.
I just personally, I'm not, like, when I put it on, I'm not sniffing it and smelling it all around. So I guess Derbs.
I guess that's the only one.
Oh, yeah, admit it, you are. I mean, it's a bunch of sweaty guys running around the base. Put that thing on, you're just wiping the sweat all over it. I don't know what. Sitting at home, just like, that thing must smell awful.
it's like every time they put it on, I just think of that scuzzy Pepe the Frog looking thing with like the hard breath of a dozen sweaty people who just ran full speed around the bases.
Well, that stuck from last year, obviously, the Wally head, and I think it's fine. But so now they're doing this thing when they get on the base with the hands over the head, which I think is mocking Roman Anthony. There was like a TikTok video of Roman when he was a kid, like dancing awkwardly. So, and I think that's stuck. Arcan was saying that the Diamondbacks were mocking that last night, which is kind of an interesting approach. So when they got on base, they were. I don't know if they do that to get, like, for every team, which is kind of brilliant. Like, if you just get on base and do the other team's celebration or whatnot.
Okay, that's a great point, because I've never known why they do that. It's a Roman Anthony mocking thing?
That's
it was a viral TikTok video he had when he was a young kid.
Okay.
He's of him dancing.
He's doing, like, hip thrusts and, like, you know. But by the way, the man is coming back. I mean,
yeah.
So he's got I don't know. You asked some of the guys about Roman and... Interesting responses. You know?
I want to play Wilson Contreras' response when I asked him about the return of Roman. As a matter of fact, let's talk about the guys who are coming back, because you had two of them have themselves a day yesterday, and really two different types of days. But Roman Anthony, I'll tell you what it was such a big day that the announcer overmodulated. it basically sounds like a heavy metal call when you take a listen to it. But we will play that also. We will give you the update on what's going on with Trevor Story as well. We'll be back in two, not going anywhere, right back. Welcome back. Is that a hip-hop version of the Welcome Back, Kotter theme?
Yes.
What a great
That's
show.
Badass. You want to talk about mustaches? Gabe Kaplan's in the damn Stash Hall of Fame.
It's a Tully day.
It is indeed a Tully day. It is Rich, Kenneth, Ted Johnson. Stiz Jackson, right here on 93.7 WEEI. You can call us at 617-779-7937.
Maybe it's a 70s day for Stiz, because he comes in today and he says, I just discovered this great Allman Brothers song called Jessica. Like,
oh,
you just discovered
Jessica,
the Allman Brothers?
Jesus, Ken.
Melissa?
Oh, Melissa.
Oh, sweet Melissa.
Yeah.
Great song.
They have an album called A Decade of Hits that is front to back legitimately amazing. Yeah, I'm all right with the Allman Brothers. A-okay.
See, that's the thing about me. I was a hip-hop kid for so long, and then, you know, 10 or so years ago when I pick up the acoustic guitar, I start learning about all this other music that I had never paid attention to.
You're going Uncle Cracker on us.
Yeah. Kind of, sort of. Yeah, yeah.
Go back and watch Welcome
Follow
Back, Connor.
Me.
You'll love it.
Or Posty. You're going like, you know,
yeah, Posty.
A little Post Malone there.
I love showing Stiz new songs and seeing his eyes light up. He's like, whoa, I got to learn to play that.
It's like having a toddler in there. He's just like, what is this?
It's awesome.
What is this internet?
But that's so much better. It's like, what's this? What's this? You know, it's great. Like, I love when people get excited about something that you tell them about, because you don't know how many times I've, like, been excited about something and I've told them, and it's like, ah, well, this sucks. And then you just, you know, it crushes your soul a little bit. By the way, speaking of crushing my soul, how many of you guys have Nessun 360, like the Nessun 360 one? Okay, it's good. It's actually a good app. It is. I mean, listen, I've joked about the cost and everything.
Yeah, if you take a second mortgage down on your house.
Yeah, I know. But one thing they have to do is they need different commercials. Every commercial break,
is it just the Women of Nessun like we get on the regular show?
No. It's literally the Blake Shelton Car Shield commercial.
Okay.
I could lip sync.
I kind of like that one. Of all the Car Shields, I'm okay with that one. The car's going backwards, and
you're so wise. country singer. Let me pop these bubbles. You know, look at what you did with your wife over there. You wrapped her up like a serial killer. What are you doing?
I don't know how the Gwen Stefani thing happened. That blows my mind every time. I'm like, how? No doubt chick is with Blake Shelton.
Country hunk. You know, she's been enough with ska guys right there. All right. Roman Anthony, first day out in Portland. And what a way to start. Listen to this call. It gets a little overmodulated because I probably don't yell this much during a
is this your Cape League guy again or no?
No. This is someone who's very good. It's just, unfortunately, it's a little overmodulated. Let's take a listen.
First pitch. Crush. Deep right field. Roman Anthony, welcome back. On to Fitzpatrick Field. Take a lap. Seagulls lead for nothing.
All right. I mean, listen, I think you get the idea of what happened there. A lot of excitement, but Roman Anthony was awesome. He was the designated hitter. He went 2-for-2 with 2 walks, a home run, and 2 RBI when he was up in Portland. If you guys, yeah, sis.
Can I play you guys just the sound of him cracking that ball?
Yeah.
All right, ready for this?
I love a bat crack.
Ooh. That is so badass.
That's like an isolated guitar track or something.
He whacked that thing.
Nice. Ooh.
That was me on my wedding night. Took about that long, too. Catholic boy, you wait.
Yeah. Curtis and I have one benchmark on Saturdays, and it's off the bat. And we play a crack of the bat. That's going to be the new call.
I got to be honest. That is some good ASMR right there. Like, I can listen to that over and over. I just want to have that sound follow me around, like whenever I like crack a joke. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's like Dice's. Oh, but you
Jack
gotta have
and to, Jill
you,
went up the hill. Oh,
yeah. Hang on. Ready, but make sure the applause is there. Jack and Jill went up the hill, each with a buck and a quarter. Jill came down with 250. Oh, there you go. It works every time. by the way, have you guys ever been to a Portland Sea Dogs game?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm sure you have.
Yeah, of course. Pat Luck Field, it's a great take.
Yeah, it's great. Stiz Jackson, have you guys ever
been
there?
I've been to a Lowell Spinners game, not a Portland Sea Dogs
okay.
game.
Okay. First of all, Portland Sea Dogs, awesome place to go. Mm-hmm. But my first experience there was somewhat surreal because I'm in the stands, and at one point comes this mascot, like fully dressed mascot, mm-hmm. and he turns around.
Sea dog?
It's a weird looking goblin. It's not a sea dog. It's this weird looking goblin, and it looks up at the crowd, and all of a sudden I see this guy take a half fill cup of Coke and just pelt the thing right in the face.
Oh man!
And Coke like flies everywhere, and then all of a sudden people in the section start just throwing trash at this thing. Jeez. And I'm like, what did this guy, why are you guys being a-holes to the mascot? And then I realized that the mascot has a mouth catches.
It's the trash monster.
It's the Portland Sea Dogs trash monster, which is this like mascot that you just pelt him with trash and it goes in his mouth. And I was thinking two things. I was like, either A, that's the worst possible job that an intern has who's in that thing, or it's some creepy guy with a trash kink who's loving life and has found like he's found his heaven. Oh, please throw me in the briar patch. Don't throw your trash in my face.
Well, let's do that.
No.
Out on Lansdowne, get Dale Ordway with the trash costume and just have, you know, that'll attract people right to the window.
I used to be Chuck E. Cheese. True story.
Yeah, I'm down.
Thankless job.
You were Chuck E. Cheese?
I was Chuck E. Cheese.
How many
you
fights?
Were Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah, when I was like 16, 17 years old.
How many fights did you see?
Yeah, Chuck E. Cheese can get wild because they serve alcohol
at
Chuck E. Cheese's. So these parents can get a little wild. And then also, I was a rambunctious teenager, so I was nuts as Chuck E., running all over the place, jumping on things. I was out of my mind.
It seemed like it was a regular thing. Like once a month, there was some sort of story about a big-ass fight at Chuck E. Cheese.
And the Waffle House is the new Chuck E. Cheese, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, Waffle House, that's an old staple. Like, there's been fights there for generations, but Chuck E. Cheese is just the greatest. But, yeah, so Roman Anthony looking good. Let's go to Brian and Milton on line one. Brian, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm actually on my way in the Fenway right now. I'm sitting right behind the plate today, and I'm just fired up for Tolley today. You know, I'm ready to see the emotions fly, and I'm not tolerating any loss today. If he's on the mound, I know what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. No question. And it's amazing how, like, he is somebody who's past his, like, he's never pitched this much in his entire career, yet every game he keeps getting better and better and better. It's been a lot of fun to watch. And you know what I think about that? I think that that guy is going to, he's going to do it. Bang up job tonight. I just can't get enough of that stupid sound.
Good pitching matchup today, by the way. Brandon Pfaadt, one of the Diamondbacks' best pitchers. This could be a quick one today. Could be a duel.
You think so?
Tolley versus Pfaadt.
That would be nice. That would be nice. I was just about to do another Andrew Dice one. And I
Go figured, ahead.
No, I realized I had to swear right in the middle of it.
Yeah, you gotta be careful.
I don't remember any of the other Dice ones. What were some of the other ones?
Hickory Dickory.
That's the one I was going to do, and you can't do that.
Too much fame.
Little Miss Muffet sat by her Tuffet.
Oh, I got one. Little Boy Blue. He needed the money.
Even that one's borderline.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's the name of a very famous nursery rhyme.
Have you seen his new shtick now? He walks around New York with his phone and walks to random people and says, Oh, you wanted my autograph? Okay, here you go. Oh, you wanted the picture? And just takes pictures with random people, like pretending that they're his fans.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's
like most guys in Times Square.
You're probably right. By the way, Trevor Story, if you're wondering, went 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts last night in Worcester. This is going to be interesting how they're going to be kind of wedge these guys back in. And Roman Anthony, you know, that is because the way things went down and, you know, some of the rumors and things that you heard, I did ask Wilson Contreras about what he feels about Roman Anthony coming back to this team. And do you have that, Stiz? Okay, let's take a listen to this.
So, Wilson, it was just announced that Roman Anthony is going to be coming up to, I think, Portland. He starts Portland, tomorrow. Yeah. What's the feeling amongst the team that Roman's coming back?
We didn't know that. I didn't know that.
There you go. Oh, really?
Being honest.
There you go.
I mean, I think Roman is a big beast for the lineup. And he's a huge bat for sure. Hopefully he's back to being healthy and ready to go, because at this time games are going to get tougher, especially getting close to the playoffs time and all this stuff. It's like we cannot waste any more time. Hopefully he's ready to go, full healthy, and he's ready to come back to the lineup for sure.
There was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many children, her uterus fell out.
So, Wilson, it was just announced that...
Stiz. Yeah. Blew it. You had one job.
So, Wilson, it...
What the...
She had so many children, her uterus fell out.
My God.
All right. I think on that note, we'll take a break.
Well, real quick, can I get a Roman quote in? So, he was asked about Meyer after the game.
Okay.
Quote, you know I was sad. Obviously spoke to him. Still speak to him quite a bit. Hope all goes well for him always. The friendship or the relationship when guys get traded, it doesn't really change. I have a lot of friends that have gotten traded along the way and a lot of great people that I still talk to on a consistent basis.
Okay.
I think there's something there. It was a little cold. He didn't seem emotional. Didn't seem like he was all broken up. I know you don't believe all the stories. We don't have to go into the Reddit forum.
Yeah,
and all
sure.
that
Someone
stuff.
Tries to hook up with your sister. You know,
I'm telling you, you hook up, and then he punched her in the face. And he's got his hands all broken.
But that Wilson Contreras answer is interesting, because he's like, first of all, nobody told them. That's odd.
Yeah,
you know, that just is the fact interesting. That they're hiding the information from him. It's going to be a very delicate process to get him. If he comes up and is not ready, they're going to be pissed, right? Isn't that what you read from that?
I did. And the thing, too, about all of that is I also see the other side. It's got to be tough to be Roman Anthony.
Sure.
Like, I mean, this whole time you've been gone, you've seen this team bond over being the worst and rallying and becoming a playoff team. It's just when you go through something like that, that I think builds chemistry and it gets you tight. And you don't want someone coming in from the outside and screwing all that up. So Wilson Contreras, with his answer and the way he answered it, and to be quite honest, the way he was looking at us when he answered it, I just have a feeling they're like, dude, you better be good.
He looked at you like, you're joking, right? Wait, Roman's back?
Yeah, right.
I hadn't heard that, you know.
That's so crazy.
That is. Like, when I told him that, and by the way, that had been news for a day, I believe. Like, almost a full day. And he was like, really?
Like, yeah,
we didn't know that.
I didn't know that. We're good.
That does say a lot. All right. 617-779-7937. A.J. Brown got swarmed by the Eagles media. They're like doing those joint practices down there. And it's kind of funny the way he talks about Jalen Hurts. It reminds me a little bit of the whole Jalen Brown, Jason Tatum situation that's going on. And man, I do like the Philly media. They were not letting him rest. We will get to all that right after this. It is 93.7 WEEI, Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, Ted Johnson. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Stiz Jackson, is this the new down?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. The new down. It's Phil Anselmo of Pantera, Corrosion of Conformity, Jimmy Bauer from EHG, yeah, we will call them.
EHG, we'll call them.
And one of the dudes from Crowbar, I believe, also.
Yes, yep. Kirk from Crowbar, and Pepper from Corrosion and Conformity.
They're playing
awesome band, playing with
Helmet next week, who's one of my all-time favorite bands. Ooh. But, first of all, we were just talking about Roman Anthony, and there's really nothing better than seeing him in his first game jack that home run. And you said that somebody on text was at the game?
Oh, yeah. So you can text the show, same numbers you call. I was at the Sea Dogs game last night. The ball was demolished. It left the stadium. It's amazing how instant the excitement comes back. This guy's been out since May the 4th. 3.5 months. He's been the subject of ridicule and scorn. One home run at Hadlock Field, and people are already talking him up like he's Judge.
Awesome.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right, right. All of a sudden, Judge is coming back.
Speaking of Judge, we're out of the dry swing era. Now for the Yankees. Aaron Judge, according to Aaron Boone, is doing, quote, swing-related stuff in the pool, end quote.
Swing-related stuff. I love that. Very technical. Somebody on Texas, Rich is a good host. I'm glad he's here. But the more he does that awful conspiracy theory voice, the more I think that one is his real personality.
It could be.
Let's quickly go to Paul on line one as we just completely get sidetracked. Paul, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How's everybody doing?
Hey, good.
Ken, tell me the truth. Are you like 30 seconds with the Dice Clay jokes? Are you like 30 seconds away from a stroke? Somebody keep an eye on him. Make sure the one side of his face doesn't start to droop. All I can do is picture it like beads of sweat like gathering on his forehead, pulling out what hair he has left.
Dice is not an FCC approved artist. Let's put it that way. He's a little, it's probably best for the dark web.
A little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet eating a curds and whey. Along came a spider, sat down beside her and said, "Hey, what's in the bowl, chick?" Of course, he didn't say chick. That is FCC.
Right.
Cleared. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the Patriots. They are having joint practices right now with the Eagles. According to some of the writers down there, it was the loudest that the crowd has been in years. And why not?
With Eagles fans there, according to Jones and Keefe, who were describing the action live. So I guess Philly people came up for the practice, which is cool.
That's a big deal. I mean, think about it. It's, I don't want to say it's as big as like someone from Boston going and watching the Sixers practice or something like that. But I mean, it's AJ Brown, and there was definitely some drama there. I mean, wasn't Jalen Hurts the only one that wasn't invited from that team to AJ Brown's wedding? The whole thing? Like, he essentially just got like left off the list. Jalen Hurts, by the way, gets way too much crap as a player. I know that there's that weird stuff like that, but Jalen Hurts is a very, very good quarterback.
I agree, but all my friends always crapping on AJ on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I mean,
Drake's going to double his production this year.
I mean, listen, we shall
maybe
see.
Maybe triple.
We shall
300
see.
Catches for AJ Brown this year.
The way practice is looking, man, the Drake to AJ Brown thing is real, and we knew it was going to be, but it's been fun to watch. All right, 617-779-7937. I want to play this clip right here, Stiz. This is you've got AJ Brown and all this Eagles media. And there's a lot of unanswered questions when he left. As I said, this does feel a little bit like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and going to another place. But this one was, I think, a little more animosity involved. Some of the passive-aggressive stuff that A.J. Brown put on social media. Let's take a listen. This is this is A.J. Brown at his media availability right after the practice today.
Talking, Jalen.
No.
How did you leave things with him?
Philly, man, y'all are tough, man. Man, it's love. But listen, honestly, guys, none of that stuff even matters. Yeah, I think you all should want to report something positive. You know, asking the question is going to turn negative. So let's not get into that. And let's keep everything positive. It's love my way, and just move forward. That's all.
Okay. All right.
Well, I'll say this. So AJ Brown has been so far A+, right? There's no problems.
Yep.
Maybe it is just a particular issue with him and this other player, but I do wonder if down the road, is this part of his DNA where he's going to want the football? What really caused the rift here, and could that ever be a problem here?
What's the best indicator of future behavior?
Yeah,
past behavior.
But that's not always fair. Like in this case, maybe he just hates Hurts. There's personal. But if it was football reasons, he wasn't getting the ball enough. That's a different story.
You know, with wide receivers, it really is a delicate balance between wanting a guy who is a good soldier and wanting a guy who's cocky as hell and wants the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think AJ Brown leans a little bit more towards the latter. Like, you know, I want the ball at all times. And obviously, when you have a coach like Mike Vrabel, you know, someone that AJ Brown says he respects, and it's very tough not to. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, he's a player's coach, despite all the stuff that people are saying could ruin his reputation amongst the players that happened with Dan Orsini, which I don't believe. But I think that he's just got a little bit of that edge in him. And the edge can backfire if things aren't going well, absolutely.
Well, that's what I mean, and especially because Vrabel's his guy.
Yeah.
And there's a perceived Vrabel-McDaniels awkwardness that maybe is gone because they went to the Super Bowl together. But at least last year it was like, oh, why does he keep bringing up Ashton Grant? Why does he keep bringing up Todd Downing, the receivers coach? So let's say AJ's not getting the ball enough. Does AJ go to Vrabel and complain about McDaniels? You know, that sort of thing. It's something just to keep in the back of your mind. I'm as excited as everybody. You watch some of these clips that Terp put up and people who were there.
Yeah.
It's exciting, you know. It's just to see the possibilities of it. And then you see the Eagles media swarm in, and it's like, man, the sharks are in the water.
Well, let's hear some more of this. Stiz, you've got a couple more clips of the Eagles media trying to get under his skin. Let's take a listen.
I love you, and, you know, I'm not looking in the past. It's a game. That game, no, I didn't play my best, but I'm not – going backwards, you know, it doesn't exist, and that's the last question I'm gonna answer about the past. So,
okay,
oh, shut it off.
I know, shut it off. Listen, I understand where he's coming from. He's like, dude, all right, I don't play for them anymore, but I don't like him. I wish he was more like Jaylen Brown. The one thing you could say about Jaylen Brown is Jaylen Brown's answering questions and he's talking. And I know it may not be the best for him, but it's great for us. Like, I mean, there was that clip that when he was on Kimmel the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, are you pissed off or do you think it was dumb that the Celtics let you go? And he goes, man, we're going to see, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to find out. I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, I said, you know, because we played that over the weekend as well. Somehow I've come to like Jaylen Brown more now that he's gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really understand my own emotions of it. And I get why some Celtics fans would be pissed because he took a shot at, you know, the favorite season of my career. He kept going back to that, and it definitely was odd,
yeah,
you know, the behavior there at the end. But I do think he's been fun in the way he's handled it. I think he's been pretty classy since he's left. I'm looking forward to the shoe event in the Common later this month.
Yeah,
he's coming back.
It's like with bands and everything. It's going to be enormous. It'll be enormous down there. That's cool that he's doing that, too. I like the fact that he's saying goodbye to the fans here. You know, I've got no problem with that whatsoever. I'm telling you, I think the Celtics team is going to be better than we're all dreading. I know that this, and it's not because of Paul George. As I've told you this many times before, when I imagine this team next season, I don't even think about Paul George being a part of it.
Even Paul George was finally on the record. The Celtics put out some stuff with him, and he seems excited. And even that, I'm watching, I'm like, all right, maybe he's got a few games in him. You know,
You're right. One or two times the sun might shine on a dog's ass. Yeah. They go out there, and all of a sudden he's fantastic, like he was in the playoffs. But I don't even think about him. I think about Mitchell Robinson, who apparently is a big redneck. I didn't realize
this.
The dude's like totally like has like a gigantic truck. Loves like,
yeah, but
like
the trucks
country
are like pimped out though, aren't they? They're not like
but it pimped out in a monster truck type way.
Oh, really?
Like he loves country music. There's a video of him on the 4th of July in these big overalls, just like launching stuff with a cowboy hat. Yeah, like he's kind of a big redneck, which I think is awesome. But you've got some size on the team. And you've got Mike Conley, who's his veteran, and I just think it's going to be a cleaner type of offense. I for some reason, I almost think that when you make it more basic, and I think Pritchard will get better, he will not become Jalen Brunson, so stop with that. But he is going to get better, which is a great thing because Peyton Pritchard's already very, very good.
Well, just sitting there at Fenway last night and you're watching like what the start of a run here, which could lead to a playoff series, and you know we're hoping a long one.
Yeah.
And then the Celtics are still interesting, obviously. You got AJ Brown coming in.
Yeah.
This has been a tough decade for the most part, other than the one Celtics title. But you're starting to feel like turn a corner here. Don't you like feel that? We're getting close to the fall. Pats just made a Super Bowl. They're going to be good again. Red Sox are going to make the playoffs again. Celtics are going to be a playoff team. I don't know if you can consider them a favorite.
I mean, the only team that I can honestly say there's probably no way they're winning a championship next year or like upcoming would be the Bruins. And that's just because of where they are.
But even them, they made a postseason appearance. They hung in there with Buffalo for a little bit. Like, the NHL's weird. You just get in. We've had 8 seeds go to the Cup Finals.
So sure.
It's a long shot. You're right.
And if Swayman gets hot, obviously, you know,
some of the young guys come along.
But I'm just saying the only one that right now, I don't think I could make a very good argument for the Bruins.
Right.
I think I could make a pretty good argument. I mean, you could definitely make an argument for the Red Sox. And, you know, the Patriots, I do think that they're being underrated this season. I think they're going to be very good.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, they went to the Super Bowl last year, so you can make an argument for them. Then, you know, when it comes to the Celtics, I don't know what the Sixers are going to be. I don't like that they got LeBron because there's an adult in the room now. When he was gone, I like that it could have been chaos and imploded.
Because you wanted LeBron here, which is a mind-blowing.
But no. I'm complimenting LeBron being with the Sixers. I hate doing it because I hate that guy. But he's the adult in the room, and he's going to calm things down. Now, the one thing that might hijack it, if he's way too interested in this stupid documentary that he's doing and the outside of basketball stuff, Oh, that would be great. And then it will all implode. That will be fantastic if that happens. But yeah, I think that the Celtics have a good enough team to have a puncher's chance to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And they could be interesting. You're right. Like 850 texter. Mitchell Robinson comes from the Redneck Riviera of Pensacola. Nothing Florida about it other than the beach. It's Lower Alabama.
Yeah. He goes to L.A., Lower Alabama.
But if he's like a fun guy to follow, that's great.
You know,
they're a 4 seed and they're kind of fun.
Yep.
Cool. Like, we can take one sort of gap year.
Sure.
And then get Steph Curry in at the deadline.
That's right. Then at the deadline, Steph Curry changes everything. All right. 617-779-7937. We'll be right back with your calls. Oh, yes. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Schertenlieb, Ken Laird. Our buddy Teddy J will be back tomorrow. And you can call us at 617-779-7937. We're in the Ketchesaw Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win. I can't say it enough. Thank you to everyone who donated to the WEEI Nesson Jimmy Fund Telethon. In my wildest dreams, I never would have thought that the amount of money raised would have been $1.5 million more than last year.
Crazy.
$7.3 million.
Arkin says that's John Hanna, not McAvoy. That's who you should... 7-3.
I see. Okay. Oh, yes.
He wanted in on the 73 discussion. $7.3 million. Incredible.
It's truly astounding because, as I said, last year I thought it couldn't be topped because that number was so ridiculous. But, you know, once again, you know, we're seeing firsthand just how this area continues to protect their own. It is a cool thing. And as cynical as we can all be, yesterday was just awesome. I encourage you to watch some of the videos. I know that, you know, on EEI's Facebook, they're on there, and some of these awesome kids. Watch Carson. She was an all-star. I mean, matter of fact, I sent that to my wife, and like she like posted it, and just the amount of people who want to, like, she should be in every ad for the Jimmy Fund. Just central casting. If you watched the game last night, she was the girl in the little red dress who went walking out. I think she was with Monasterio last night, And man, what a great time. So
even right off the hop, we had Maggie with the pink headbands. I mean, I was the only one that wore the headband.
You wore the headband.
You wore it over the hat. I mean, it didn't quite count. We had so many cool kids, though. And it's not just kids. It's the thing. It's like, you're right. It's every slice of life.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this stupid disease is still around. But we're getting closer, and this money helps.
Yep.
It matters.
No question. And you know, the type of technology and stuff that they're able to develop with that money, as I said, so my wife, on her fourth relapse, unfortunately, she is now taking a pill for her leukemia that 10 years ago wasn't even around. Like, it was something that wasn't even, they were working on it, but it hadn't been invented yet. And thanks to Dana-Farber, because they were the ones who developed and made it, there's a drug now that's just a pill that essentially has saved her life. So, I mean, they are miracle workers there. Thank you very much. $7.3 million. Hey, next year, let's go 8 figures, baby.
As you said, I never thought we'd touch 5-7 again, but next year being the 25th anniversary, maybe we will go crazy, you know?
Yeah. And it was nice, too, having all these different people like call in, like Bill Chisholm. This was great. So Greg Hill had Bill Chisholm call in. I think this is the first, as the owner of the Celtics, like the first radio interview that he's done. Is that right?
It's totally true. Kudos to Greg for getting him on. I know the Celtics, hey, credit to them for making him available. I think that, you know, they want to support a good cause, as a lot of, you know, we've had contributions from everybody in the city and all the teams, and that's awesome. But, yeah, I think they knew it was going to be, all right, this is not just an easy, sure, Bill Chisholm will come on. It's his first interview.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of his introduction immediately after the city basically said, what the hell are you doing getting rid of Jaylen Brown when you ended up getting peanuts in return? And so I do like the fact that Greg asked him about that, and I do like the fact that Bill Chisholm answered about it. I don't know if I like the answer itself, and now that the telethon's over, we can crap all over him again. Let's let it roll. I want to hear this, if you don't mind. This is from the Greg Hill Show with Bill Chisholm, owner of your Boston Celtics, about Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's It's a really good question. It's one that, you know, I struggled with at the time. And like you said, you know, I truly believe we have the best, you know, front office in the NBA. And I think it's a source of, you know, of advantage for us, every day. And so I definitely have a level of trust in Brad and his team. But man, as a fan, that was tough. And I really, you know, I really need to be convinced and, you know, to take the fan passion out of it, because I'm a super fan, was tough. And to frankly, you know, not, and to put aside the, and, you know, you have to kind of be, I think you had to be a sociopath if you don't worry a little bit about what other people, the other fans are going to think. And so to put all that to the side and just, you know, do the job. And, you know, I step back and realize, you know, you have a responsibility, you know, to protect and advance the legacy of the Celtics. And, you know, we've got the best, you know, brains in basketball, and this is something that they were.
All right, I think that's enough. You can stop it there. I mean, like,
that's a lot. Wow,
I wouldn't have done it, but
we got sociopath in there. We got, you know, a lot of stuff in there.
I just, you know, listening to that, I don't like how it was. Well, it wasn't my idea. You kind of had to convince me.
I have no problem with it. He's coming out and telling you Brad is on a bit of a hot seat. This was Brad's call, and I don't. I think he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I
think Brad had some kind of personal beef going on, Brad and Tatum probably, with Jaylen. They wanted him out, and the owner was like, what?
You know, I've said this from when it happened, before it happened. There are basketball reasons why you would want to trade Jaylen Brown. I actually didn't have a problem with them looking to trade him.
Oh, you've talked to Ted.
What's that?
You've spoken to Ted, and whoever the hit. Peace guy, we had the stats guy.
That's right.
There's 180 million reasons.
But to me, the problem I had was you got jack for him. You got nothing for him.
Two kicks at the can, according to Brad, in 2027 and 28 or whatever.
Stop with that. I know. Like that. Just to me, that's what I got pissed off about, because I can understand the logic of, okay, we've got these two guys. It has not worked in the past couple of years. And looking at what's around us, what the Knicks are, what the rest of the NBA is becoming, I don't think we can win again with these two guys being our two highest paid players. And I don't mind that mentality. The problem is if you're going to get rid of one, don't get a dude that literally the Sixers were trying to give picks with to make you take on his contract.
Right. Get Giannis. And don't let it go past that.
Sure.
And don't create a super team in Philly. Like, I mean, sure, the owner should be pissed. Like, this didn't go well.
No. Know? Well, the Baylor Shireman was a line they couldn't cross. They would not give him up. Or Hugo Gonzalez. Isn't that what it was?
By both.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so, I mean, to me, I did not like that answer. I understand why you would get rid of him. It's the crap you got back. And I apologize to Paul George. But man, it's just, you can't give away a dude that was in the conversation for MVP. And you know what that is? That's on Brad. Brad didn't do a good enough job as a general manager to up the value of him, to get your maximum dollar for him.
Right.
Now, do I think that this team's still going to be good? Very good. I think they're going to be very good. I think they're going to surprise you. I think you're going to see Tatum ascend the way that Jaylen Brown did last year. Tatum's already a great player. You watch next season what he becomes. And then take a look at what Peyton Pritchard becomes. He's already very good, and he's going to get better. Not Jalen Brunson. I feel like I have to say that every
you
single
do,
time.
Otherwise, I will.
That's right. I'm stopping you before you actually have that take. All right. 617-779-7937. We got your Red Sox coming up here in just a few, and you can give us a call before we take off. 617-779-7937. Back in two. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird. Our buddy Teddy J will be back in tomorrow, and we're just about to take off here. After we talk a little Red Sox with Joe, as the pregame's about to start, and the game starts at 4:10. Is that right? First pitch at 4:10? Am I right?
Yes.
Okay.
The money.
All right. Peyton Tolley. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Should be a good one. 617-779-7937. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app as well. And by the way, we were talking about Roman Anthony earlier. And, you know, Roman Anthony, I mean, you can't start any better when you're doing your rehab stint. Home run last night. Mm-hmm. Looked very, very good. And afterwards, he talked about, you know, how he felt. And as I said, I don't envy him right now. I know everyone's talking about the team, and they're in a weird spot, too, because, you know, Contreras made that face to us when we asked him about it. It was so crazy how...
It was just like shock. It was like, what?
Yeah. He's coming back?
I didn't know that.
He went from shock then to almost like, I don't want to say concern, but it almost seemed like as if he was saying, he better be ready.
Well, I think you caught him in some honesty because he's processing it in the moment like, oh, wait a minute, he's coming back? Well, if he does... Better be ready to go, dude.
Yeah, because you know? Look what we're doing.
Yeah,
and look what we've been able to do. Yeah. And we don't need to have somebody here with the toddler wheels on the bike. We need you to be actually someone who can help us. As a matter of fact, I want to hear that answer one more time, Sis, if you don't mind. Wilson Contreras, we had him on it. And by the way, shout out to all the Red Sox who came by and helped out with the Jimmy Fund. They helped raise a record amount of money, and they're all in. That team was all in over the last couple of days. But we had Contreras. And who was with him?
Monasterio.
Monasterio? Or no. Sedan?
Yeah, Sedan.
Okay, Sedan.
Abreu.
It was him and Willier. I mean, so many came by. It's a thing. But we asked them about, hey, what's your feelings on Roman Anthony returning? And listen to the shock from Wilson Contreras when we asked him this.
We didn't know that. I didn't know that.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Being honest.
There you go.
I mean, I think Roman is a big beast for the lineup. And he's a huge bat for sure. Hopefully he's back to being healthy and ready to go, because at this time games are going to get tougher, especially getting close to the playoffs time and all this stuff. It's like we cannot waste any more time. Hopefully he's ready to go, full healthy, and he's ready to come back to the lineup for sure.
Are you ready for the most sports talky take ever?
Good.
We don't need to be wasting any more time. As if he's saying Roman Anthony was wasting time getting back. Is that sports?
I can follow you. Okay. I can follow you.
Some people in the organization felt that way. That's just a fact. I mean, how could you not? I mean, he was out for so long. They initially said it was like a 15-day IL stint, 3.5 months later. By the way, update on him today from Chad Tracy, the pregame. He's off today, Roman Anthony,
okay,
after last night's homer.
Sure.
But that was the plan.
He's tuckered.
He's going to go back-to-back in the next two, and according to Tracy, they're going to build up the volume, and no timeline yet, but they're going to keep adding to it.
So. The more I hear that answer, the more I'm starting to read things into it, and I swear I'm getting sucked into the sports talk hot take.
Can't turn back now, Rich.
I know.
You signed up for this.
It's the chair, I guess. But that's the weird thing, though, is that it's like now I'm glad a guy like Contreras is there, aren't you? For when Roman returns,
yeah.
Like a dude that's going to keep him honest, going to keep him checked. Like, dude, you do not jack around now that you're back. I kind of like that everything happened the way that it did, because, you know, if for some reason you believe that Roman wasn't taking things as seriously, if you're one of those people, when you come back, he's got this a little bit of guilt, you would think, that I wasn't part of this special thing that they had here. I'm no longer the cock of the walk that can get away with whatever I want to.
Yeah, yeah. And that's good for Wilson to be a check for Chad Tracy, who managed Roman in the minors and could be soft on him. But yeah. Wilson's not going to allow that to happen. You remember his answer about Tracy. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Wilson's not, like, he's not messing around. This is like, hey, Trace, like, this guy's not coming back unless he's ready to go. I think it's very good to have these veterans in there,
yeah,
sort of calling it, running the show a little bit.
No question. All right. Well, once again, I want to thank everybody over the last couple of days.
Great job.
$7.3 million is nothing we have ever, we couldn't have even imagined it. And I hope that you never have to experience what a lot of these patients are experiencing, or their families, or the doctors, or anything like that. But if you do, just know that you have the greatest place on the planet to be right here in Boston. Dana-Farber are miracle workers. The Jimmy Fund, you've got kids getting cancer treatments who can't wait to go because it's fun. Your money went to the best possible place it can go to. And just because a telethon's over does not mean you need to stop donating. Please, jimmyfund.org. Thank you, thank you, thank you for everything you've done. Red Sox baseball, baby! Peyton Tolley on the mound! Let's go! We will see you again tomorrow. Actually, we're going to be here for a couple more minutes, but we will see you with our show a little bit later. Bye!